fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. There's a lot to go over. We want to start with the Mueller testimony yesterday. What a shocking piece of testimony yesterday, Stu. How do we even begin to cover all of the revelations?
Oh my gosh. There was the time he said yes.
And but remember when he said no?
Oh, that was amazing.
You know what? Such a cliffhanger when he said, it's in the report.
I
can't comment any further than that.
Yeah, because then he was saying, like, you should look at the report and see the thing that's in the report.
That was amazing. Great. It was really, really great. It was like story hour where, you know, Sam, I am Sam. Did you write that? Yes, it's in the book. Yes, but on page 4, you say that this character of yours won't eat it with a fox or in a box. I really can't take it any further than what I wrote in the book. We'll cover all of that coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Somewhere in America, within the sound of my voice, there is a man whose job it is to mold the minds of young adults. Now, there are two kinds of professors now in this world. The kind that wants to teach children what to think, and the kind that wants to teach these college students how to think. One is more rare than the other, but this man is the latter, and he knows that part of making a difference is making an impression. And he lectures, his lectures are wild and they are fun, but they're always geared towards inspiring curiosity in the young people seated before him. And he wants them to feel the joy of a lifelong burning curiosity. It's not an act. This is who he is fundamentally as a human being. He long ago embraced despite or maybe even because of the odd glances that the general dissident chord he might occasionally strike in normal society and how it would make people react. His manner is complicated, complemented by his look. The two are kind of tied in kind of a bohemian union. The elbow patch sports coat is there. I mean, after all, that's what he's supposed to wear. But it just covers a T-shirt over khakis, most of the times jeans. Surely, also, what's really noticed about him is his Tecovas boots. He takes every available opportunity to rest them on his desk for the room to see because he's the only college professor, and it says something about him. Resting in perfection of the dark burnished leather, perfectly made, they stand in stark contrast to everything around them. And perhaps more than anything else about him, they wordlessly convey a message of, yeah, this is who I am. And I'm not afraid to say it. You know, it takes 200 steps to make a pair of Tecovas boots. They're built to be comfortable right out of the box. Handmade with high quality, full grain leathers by world class bootmakers. Tecovas boots, they come in lizard and alligator. Some of the world's most exotic leathers. If you're looking for cowboy boots or western boots, you'll find them at Tecovas.com, and they're there because they sell directly to customers, and that way Tecovas ensures that their product is either half the price of a similar boot or twice the quality of a similarly priced boot. So check out their site right now. Doesn't matter who you are, male or female, Tecovas has the boot that you have been looking for. Tecovas.com/Beck. Tecovas.com/Beck. Just order your boots online. It's remarkably easy and accurate, and they have free shipping and free returns. So there's risk-free here. Tecovas. Great boots that feel great and have a great price. Find your pair today. Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com/Beck. Walk the walk. You were meant to walk. I think we want to start with the media that was just crushed by the Mueller testimony. Here's a little montage.
Everybody here in D.C. counting down to Mueller time.
Pretty much whatever happens tomorrow is high stakes.
High stakes hearing on Capitol Hill.
The stakes are extremely high.
The stakes are so high.
The stakes could not be higher. We are on the eve of historic hearing.
Historic testimony.
Historic.
This is the room where history will unfold.
You really can't overestimate what is on the line for Democrats when it comes to Robert Mueller's testimony.
This is a very big deal. So crucial.
Really, really important. Very dramatic.
Mueller's testimony this morning could be their last best chance to convince the public to support impeachment.
Do you think there's a make or break moment?
Look, it's their make or break moment.
Could the outcome sway undecided House Democrats on impeachment?
What happens here today is likely to be a turning point in the fight over impeachment.
Do you think that it could change the dial on impeachment?
It's going to be very damning.
The recitation of that evidence could be incredibly damaging.
A key moment in the Trump presidency.
Testifying before Congress with the presidency at stake.
This is either going to be the world's biggest event, the Mueller movie, or a dud because there's nothing new.
That question, was the ball advanced?
No. Impeachment's over.
They needed more fuel for any kind of impeachment effort.
So look, on optics, this was a disaster.
A lot of Democrats in particular used the D word and branded this a disaster early on.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of immediately after, Glenn?
But
Chris Darden, attorney prosecuting the O.J. Simpson case,
mm-hmm.
against the objections of many of the other attorneys, decided to
put the gloves on
and have O.J. come up and try the gloves. And, you know, everyone was saying, no, it's not a good idea. And he decided to do it. It was his call and he did it. And he owns it now to this day. Mm-hmm. I mean, he winds up with actually an amazing career as an attorney. But he admits it was a really bad mistake. And that's what this felt like. I mean, Robert Mueller told you, don't call me to testify about this. I'm not going to add anything.
It was like, to use your analogy, it's almost like the gloves, as he went to pick them up and making the final decision, the gloves said, don't do it. I won't fit. Don't. I'm too small. And he's like, I'm going to do it anyway, gloves. I don't care what you say. I think they'll fit.
I won't fit. Don't do it. He'll get away with chopping women's heads off.
That's really what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was that bad. I mean, he didn't even, not only did he not say anything new, which was something we all could have predicted because Robert Mueller told us he wasn't going to say anything new.
He did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, and I think it was a little worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
He really didn't. He came off as,
hang on my pudding.
Yes.
And where's my cup of pills?
It did feel like they were at an assisted living home while he was giving
the.
That was a little.
It did.
Bit.
I don't. Where are my shoes? Who's talking? Where are you?
There was a bit of that, and look, you know, the guy hasn't done one of these things in 6 years, and it's been a while. However, it's like he didn't even seem to be familiar with his own report.
Okay, so here's the thing. I talked to a judge last night. I talked to a federal judge last night, and I said, so what do you think happened there? And he said, I'll tell you. He said, guys come into my courtroom all the time. And he said, I always say the same thing. Don't want to talk to you. Want to talk to the underlings. No, well, I'm the head of this investigation. Let me talk to one of the underlings, please. No, you're going to talk to me. Okay. And then they start to go into it, and they're like, oh, well, I'm not sure. Let me hang on just a sec.
Mm-hmm.
He said at one point in one case that he was working on, he said, could I just talk to the person behind you? And what it is these guys, they're not the ones that make the report.
Just like basically figureheads in a way. Like they add credibility. They manage at the perimeter at some level.
Mueller had very little to do with the Mueller report.
Right, and you see this all the time, by the way, in Congress. It's the same way.
Yes.
You know, Ilhan Omar was reading a...
Who?
Ilhan Omar.
Bum, bum, da, 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 da.
She was reading a report. Reading a lengthy question, this is a couple months ago, and she referred to the questioning, and she said, what did you do in the Iran-Contra affair? Now, she had no familiarity with even the question she was asking and blatantly reading from. She didn't even know what the Iran-Contra affair was.
I don't think she was alive, and she certainly wasn't here.
Certainly wasn't here. And just, but again, this is not. You don't have to be here. You know, we've talked a lot about the Nazi regime. I wasn't there, and I was not alive.
Or so you'll have us believe.
Well, you know, I mean, I get it. Well, I went through Argentina. And then, right. No, but I mean, like, it's one of these.
We sunk the sub afterwards. Oh, I said too much.
But it's like, you know, they don't have, they're just the face of it. And I think, like, you know, there's a thing that goes on with these, the parties that go on in the Super Bowl cities every year. And so they throw these big Super Bowl parties, and they advertise them like crazy. They'll be like, Kendall Jenner, you know, every big whatever.
Caitlyn Jenner.
No, they never say Caitlyn Jenner.
Really?
Kendall Jenner.
But she's so beautiful.
All the other Jenners and Kardashians except for Caitlyn. And they make a big deal about it. And yeah, they'll be this model and this model will be there. And this celebrity and this sports star. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to the parties, if they show up at all, they show up for 3 minutes, stand at a private table so people can prove that they showed up so they don't get sued, and they walk out to another party where they're getting paid $10,000. And it's like, it felt almost like this. Like, this guy wasn't even engaged in this at all. His name's on it. You know, he's on the ads. Come to the Mueller report. He's going to be talking about Mueller. Mueller's going to be there. He knows the whole thing. In reality, he showed up for 5 minutes.
Get your picture with Mueller.
Yeah. Because, I mean, going through this, we had the impression that here's a guy who, you know, you could criticize the investigation all you want. I think, as we pointed out many times, there's a lot of really important information that came out about Russia. Now, and the Trump part of it was a sideshow. The Russia part was actually legitimate.
And that's he said that in the opening statement. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say whatever you want, but Russia was trying to hack, did try to hack, mm-hmm. and they're going to hack again. They're doing it right now.
As we sit here.
Yeah. And he said, I'm hoping somebody is paying attention. Yeah. Whatever. Russia schmusha. Tell me.
Yeah.
Well, in your report.
Yeah.
You left out a lot of really criminal kind of stuff, right?
Right. So we kind of, I think, I was at least operating under the assumption that Mueller was like, look, I want to do this thing. I don't want to be in a media circus. So I'm going to have my lips buttoned. He made no appearances in front of the media the entire time. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't talk to reporters walking to his car. Mm-hmm. Remember, they were like putting helicopters over his car when he was going to like the dry cleaners.
I know.
And but now, like, looking
before
at it,
before you ask for 1 hour Martinizing, is Trump a criminal?
That's a solid dry cleaning joke right there. But like, I now looking back at it after watching this testimony, it kind of seems like he just wasn't engaged in it. Like, maybe he was just
he looked, and I hate to, you know, I hate to say, you know, he's old and senile, but my guess is he didn't even read the damn thing like the night before.
Yeah, it didn't even seem
he kind of just
prepped.
Like thumbed through it, and he's like, I'm not going to say anything, so why read it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that in the, what page is that? 76. Yep, then that's what I said.
That's what I said, right.
I mean,
that's what he was doing. I mean, right. At one point they asked him, you know, Fusion GPS is blah, 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 and like, he didn't even seem to be familiar with the organization.
I know.
And it's like, how do you, it's in your report.
I know. It's the point of your report.
Yeah. I mean, this is an unmitigated disaster for Democrats.
Yeah. Impeachment is over. Mm. It is absolutely over. They had their best shot. You know what it was? Star Wars Episode 1.
Wow. That's harsh.
Well, we've all seen the TV commercials, My Pillow's made right here in the U.S., and the owner is very vocal and very conservative. I recently met Mike Lindell. He's the inventor of My Pillow. Do you know this guy's story?
Not really. A little bit. He makes pillows, right?
He makes pillows.
That's the part I know.
Were you here when he...
No, I didn't get to meet him. I mean, he's a pretty amazing guy. Did not.
Okay. He's an amazing guy. You know how I can be sometimes where I'm just like really focused and I'm like on a million different things and I'm like, hey, got to do this and this and this and this. This guy wore me out. I had a 90 minute meeting with him.
Yeah.
I said to
him,
how many calories do you have to eat just to live? because it's got to be 5,000 calories a day.
Well, with that much energy, you need a good pillow.
Yeah. So he's got an amazing story. I really actually want to have him on, unrelated to the pillow. I want to have him on because his story, he was a drug addict. Hmm. I mean, his story is amazing. Anyway, so we sat down, and he's just a really straight shooter. And I said, he said, you didn't like the pillow, did you? And I said, I don't know. And the deal is you have to be fitted for the pillow. You have to have the right pillow because sometimes people like it's the distance, you know, from your head to the bed. And I needed something that was thicker because I have a very delicate and small head for my big frame. And so I needed a thicker pillow. And he said, you're using the wrong one. Try this one tonight. Try the other one tonight. And I said, okay, not thinking it was going to make a difference. Last night, I did it again. I put my head down on the pillow, and usually you have to, like, fluff them and bend them and, you know, and once you get it ready when you go to bed, you just kind of put it there where your pillow is, and that's it. That's it. All night, you will sleep comfortably. My pillow, they will send you a two-pack of premium pillows. Now for $69.98, this is a really low price for my pillows. That's $34.99 per pillow. The offer is available on MyPillow.com by calling 800-966-3117. Use the promo code Beck. MyPillow, made here in the USA, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. The guy who invented them, he's just like you, man. He is an on-fire conservative. Don't spend one more sleepless night on a pillow that just doesn't work. Log on to MyPillow.com or call them at 800-966-3117, 800-966-3117, MyPillow.com. Get the special price, $34.99 per pillow. You get a two-pack for $69.98. MyPillow.com, promo code Beck. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. All right. So we're just talking about
the testimony I gave yesterday.
And you went a little bit too harsh, I thought, there, comparing his performance to episode one of Star Wars.
Really?
Probably not. I mean,
would you have been surprised if they said, yes, but have the Metachlorans taken over Donald Trump's body at this point? Are there any Metachlorans? Did you check for Metachlorans?
I don't think so. I would not have been surprised at that. So you had said before the break that the impeachment thing is dead. And like, look, you're Glenn Beck, right? You're this evil right-wing extremist.
Yeah, what do I know?
Listen to how ABC News described the situation as it currently stands.
The end result for Democrats is the end of the dream of impeachment overturning the 2016 election. Mm. It's just not going to happen. The public is not there. It's over as a political issue, but not as a national security.
So I think that that's a fair analysis of it. I mean, any dream you had, they had 90 people who voted for impeachment in the House. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, you hate to say it, wins again here, right? I mean, she is the one who's been saying that you shouldn't go for impeachment, and all these AOCs and Ilhan Omars are all yelling about it all the time. And
who?
Ilhan Omar.
Bum, ba, da, da, da.
And they keep yelling about it, but in reality, Pelosi shows that she's the one who knows what's going on with the Democratic Party and knows the situation. Is it being realistic? And, you know, this is such a, it's an amazing thing to watch because They have tried so many times to make a spectacle out of this. James Comey's testimony, Michael Cohen's testimony, Robert Mueller's testimony. All of these things were supposed to be the moment in which everyone realizes that the collusion that the report says did not occur is going to overturn this presidency.
All right, let me just give you a timeline. This is the Democrat. This is what Nancy Pelosi was right about, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a very low bar. Here's what Mueller said he would do in his farewell swan dive address. Listen.
Now, I hope and expect this to be the only time that I will speak to you in this manner.
I am making that decision myself. No one has told me whether I can or should testify or speak further about this matter. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report. It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself.
Okay. Yeah.
And the report is my testimony.
My testimony.
I would not provide information beyond
right.
that which is already public.
Uh-huh.
In any.
Okay, so that's what he said. Now, here's what he said yesterday. Listen to this. If we have it. Maybe we don't have it.
Yeah. I'll leave it with the report. So, I would have to refer you to the report on that. Direct you to the report for how that is characterized. Mm-hmm. And I would direct you to the report itself.
Okay. What, well, I looked at 182 pages of it.
It's outside my purview. It's outside my purview. Outside my purview. This is still outside my purview. I can't answer that question. I can't get into detail. Can't get into that. The letter stands for itself. I can't get into it. Can't get into that.
So it's almost like he is a man of his word.
You know, blinds. I'm blind.
No, Blinds.com. Right now, Blinds.com, 30% of the home's heating in the winter goes right through your windows. In summer, 76% of the sunlight that falls on your standard double-pane windows enters and becomes heat. Oh, you gotta love that. Blinds.com, America's number one online choice for affordable custom window coverings. So you can do it because it's hot in the house in the summer and it's cold in the house in the winter. Or you can do it because it's going to change the look of your house. It's the most inexpensive way of truly giving your house a makeover. Blinds.com. They've helped me. I trust them to help you as well. Go to Blinds.com now through July 30th and save up to 40% on everything. Plus an extra $20 if you use the promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Plus save an extra $20 with promo code Beck. Blinds.com. Promo code Beck.
So the Ilhan Omar special is up on demand. If you're a subscriber to BlazeTV.com, use the code Glenn20. They're going to extend it for a day, $20 off.
Man, I'm really excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tecovas. I know how ridiculous a great pair of boots can cost. Tecovas makes great boots and accessories. They sell their boots directly to the customer, so their boots are half the price of anything that's even similar in quality. They're all handmade with a 200-step process with only the best materials. Their entire line honors the timeless traditional boot styles. No silly stitching or sequins or loud colors or anything else. These are just great boots like my grandfather would have worn. With Tecovas, there's no need to break them in. They arrive already ready to be worn immediately, comfortably. They're easy to order with tremendous customer service. Tecovas always has free shipping and free returns. Check out their boots and their clothing and accessories right now. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's TECOVAS.com/Beck. We have Alan Dershowitz on with us next hour, and he's amazingly frank. He's going to talk about the accusations of him with Jeffrey Epstein. And he says there's absolutely no truth. And he says that he can prove it. He's fascinating. You know, he's probably the what was his name? Charles Darrow mm-hmm. of our age, the big, you know, attorney back in the early 1900s. He's probably the most famous. He has. You know where he started? He was one of the attorneys for the Chappaquiddick trial. He defended every dirtbag in the world. He really has. I mean, if you're in trouble and you did it, he's the guy.
He's the guy. Yeah, I mean, he's probably probably the best known attorney of our time. I mean, Johnny Cochran's gone, right?
So him and F. Lee Bailey. Although F. Lee Bailey, I think, was disbarred, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, he had some
years
troubles.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but yeah, I mean, of course, it's a lot of that's tied to OJ too. But he had so many other big cases: Klaus von Bülow, and and Epstein, right? And this is why he's back in the news now, in that he's been tied into that story. And there was a big, you know, story about, I think it was New York Magazine. Was it New York or The New Yorker? One of the two that writes really long articles that are really liberal. And they're now tying him in, and he's really pissed off about it because he was like loose friends at one point with Epstein.
I don't blame him, but a lot of trying to smear him because he defends Trump from time to time.
I've noticed this as a thing, Pat, where, you know, Jeffrey Epstein committed these crimes. And if you remember, we on talk radio focused a lot on these things throughout these times because, partially because Epstein, really bad guy, deserves to pay a price for these crimes, but also because he was tied in with Bill Clinton. And no one in the media cared.
Not interested.
No one cared. No one cared at all.
Not the least.
Now, shockingly, after all this time, Acosta, who was the labor secretary for Donald Trump, as soon as you could tie Acosta into the story, which is what the basis of a big focus of the Miami Herald reporting was on Acosta, because he was the guy that cut the deal with Epstein.
Yeah.
Now that Trump's administration could be tied into the story, all of a sudden it's a big story.
Everybody cares.
Same thing with Dershowitz. Dershowitz has been a darling of the media his entire life. And now, because he's last couple years has been defending Trump, he's not a conservative.
No, I think he even said he wouldn't vote for Trump.
Yeah, but he said, like, this impeachment thing is nonsense, and wrote a book about it. And ever since then, he's been going on, you know, shows and saying, like, what he believes, which he's always done. And now, all of a sudden, they're coming after Alan Dershowitz. And you just notice this as a law. There's a pattern here where, like, Bill Cosby, I very much think, did the things that he's accused of. However, like, around for a really long time. And then all of a sudden, Bill Cosby started saying things that sounded kind of conservative. And now he's in prison. It's like, I don't know.
Wild
maybe I'm reading
I'm
too
sure.
much
yeah,
into it. It's possible.
I did a podcast with Tim Pool the other day. It's going to come out in a couple of weeks. I'll tell you, he's got a great theory on this because he's called now a conservative.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not conservative. I'm not conservative. No. He said, I just happen to be standing up for things that, these crazy progressive socialists are saying that we all have to abide by. He said, you and I will disagree on almost everything. And he said, I think there's a reason for that. He said, I think the media and the new media, Google, Facebook, YouTube, he said, I think they are redefining what it means to be a conservative. He said they're picking off the real conservatives one by one and then relabeling people like me a conservative, and then I skate through. So when somebody says, well, what's a conservative? The only ones that will be left to say, well, no, I'm not really a conservative, but here's the point of view, will be the non-conservatives.
Right. Like, if you redefine conservative as a person who's basically liberal but out for, you know, cares about free speech. And so that's the far right part of what you're going to allow on your platform.
Who still appreciates and supports capitalism.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That's kind of defined as a conservative now. If you're a capitalist.
So here's the amazing thing is, don't think this won't happen or can't happen. This is what they did to the classic liberal. They became libertarians because liberal was hijacked by FDR. And he said, I'm a liberal. No, he was a progressive. But Wilson saw that the progressive label had been, or not Wilson, FDR saw that Wilson had destroyed the progressive label. They needed to repackage it. And so FDR said, yep, I'm a classic liberal. We're liberal. This is what liberals are. Well, no, that wasn't what it was at the time. Now, all of a sudden, a classic liberal, which really is kind of the libertarian conservative, mm-hmm. of the day. Now, all of a sudden, it means you're for big state. That's what they've done before. And they took the libertarian chair away. Now they're taking away the conservative chair as well. That will leave you with one party, guys.
They're really good at it.
That's
why the democracy thing is so important to me.
Yes.
Because they've done the same thing with democracy. Democracy mm-hmm. is code word for socialism now.
And democracy 100 years ago was known as a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, because the founders said it was.
Yeah, it dies. Yeah. Democracy.
They don't last 200 years.
No, they don't. They don't last very. They don't last very long, in any shape. Let me go back to Epstein. Epstein last night had a boo boo on his neck. Some people are saying it really wasn't. It really wasn't a serious attempt to kill himself. He may have been trying. I don't know. Trying to get his neck through the bars or something. No idea what he was doing, but I do believe that the guy could be suicidal because he's going to be Whitey Bulgered. You remember Whitey Bulger?
Mm-hmm.
He was the
boss from Boston on the FBI's most wanted list for decades, and was finally captured in like a small apartment with his girlfriend where he lived for a very long time.
Right. And he didn't last long in prison.
No.
You know, the mob guys, if you've tried to get out of the mob, you don't last long. You're shivved.
And that's kind of the standard thing with child molesters too, right?
Correct.
Like not exactly a warm welcome when
but
you go to
not
prison.
Not only are you a child molester, you're also the enemy now. You have the goods on anyone from Prince Andrew to Bill Clinton, and we all know the Clintons have killed hundreds.
Well, go look for the list. You'll see.
Right.
You'll see.
No, but seriously, I mean, there are people that just can't afford their image mm-hmm. to go down.
No, I mean,
they're very desperate people who have a lot of power.
And as you will, if you read any story about Epstein, you will see they will throw Bill Clinton's name in there, but they'll also throw Donald Trump's name in there.
They throw Trump's name before Clinton.
Usually.
Now.
And it seems like Clinton had a much closer relationship.
Uh-huh.
Trump
time.
Did have.
He went with him 26 times.
Everybody in South Florida of means had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
And around the world, there a lot of people did. The guy had a lot of money. He made a show of it. He did like parties with young women that of legal age.
Mm-hmm.
So that does attract a lot of attention. I mean, he also seemed to like them with underage, which is the crime. But there's not a crime in partying with, Buffalo Bills cheerleaders,
no.
which he also did. And, they had
that's
the
called
footage.
The Howard Stern Show.
Right, exactly. I mean, the Playboy, right? Like, that's what Epstein was, right? I mean, he also was doing these other things that were completely illegal. But they are going to try to tie everyone who is on this list, this black book that he has, into some sort of crime now, mm-hmm. or at least the people that will advantage them. Bill Clinton is now persona non grata, right? And they don't care. They don't care about Bill Clinton anymore. Hillary lost.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need him anymore.
They're
He's gone. They're fine now saying, we should have taken that rape thing seriously back in the day, because now there's no downside for them. They can use that against other people that they want to target now. But they're going to go after all these people, and I'm sure 99% of them have no guilt in what Epstein was doing. I mean, you read the reports from the Miami Herald. The reporting they have of what he got committed, it was all stuff he did in his home mm-hmm. with one or two other people recruiting high school girls and younger from around the community. I mean, mm-hmm. They're not saying he assaulted any Buffalo Bills cheerleaders. But they're going to try to tie everybody who's even, and this is where Dershowitz falls into it.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to, anyone who even had a peripheral contact
anybody
with
who
this
even
guy
knew him.
Into the crime. Right. And it's obviously ridiculous.
And one of the problems for Epstein is that his crimes are heinous even to people in jail.
Yeah.
Even to the lowest scum on the earth.
You don't want that.
When you mess with little girls, when you're abusing children, they don't take kindly to that. And so he's got that. And he's got the elite who don't want any of his testimony to come out against them. They don't want any of this stuff to come out. So,
and the pedophiles that are in prison probably don't like him because he had such a sweet life.
Right.
You know, right?
He's got nobody likes him.
And there's some speculation that maybe he didn't hurt himself yesterday. Maybe somebody else hurt him. There was a NYPD cop who's in jail, and he's like a next door neighbor to Epstein in prison right now. And
what's he in jail for?
The only thing he did was murder four people.
Oh, just the four. Okay.
So just four. Yeah,
and he got it. Went into
jail. It wasn't
jail
like genocide or anything.
Wow.
It was four people.
They probably deserved it.
But he was quoted as saying, "I tripped over there. He tripped. I didn't lay a hand on him."
tripped. Marks on his neck.
He tripped. Wow. Yeah, he's just really he's clumsy over there. That guy.
Clumsy. He landed on his neck. I don't know what happened. I tried to pick him up, huh?
I didn't. Okay, maybe I wasn't gentle enough trying to pick him up.
I was shaking him. Hey.
Hey, you okay?
Jeremy, Jeffy, whatever your name is. I'm shaking you by your neck. Are you all right?
Get up, you sad sack over there. So, he's in trouble.
It seems like there's competing narratives, too, as to what actually happened, because there's the idea that maybe somebody else did this to him, mm-hmm. injured Epstein in prison, mm-hmm. that he committed suicide or tried to commit suicide. The other one is, look, he's saying he tried to commit suicide. That's the idea. But the real thing is he faked it because
it's
wants
a cry
to get
for
moved.
Help.
Right. He wants to get moved to another cell.
Right.
In a better situation.
Suicide attempt is a cry for help. And this one is help. Help. They're going to kill me in here. Help.
Thanks, Pat.
Pat Gray Unleashed, available wherever you get your podcast, also on the Blaze Radio Network.
That is great. All right, let me tell you about the housing market. Strong at this time of year. June housing report showed very strong demand, and supply was controlled. What the hell does that mean? Well, it means that home sellers should find strong interest in their home. It means that generally homes are selling faster and for top dollar. If you want to take advantage of the strong housing market, you should check out realestateagentsitrust.com. We named the company realestateagentsitrust.com for a reason, because I vetted all of these people. My team has spent a lot of time to make sure that we have people with a very high sense of urgency. People who are going to respond to you in minutes, not hours. That they're professional. They return calls. They do what they say they're going to do. That they're experts in evaluating the value of the market and the value of your home in the market. Or also experts in the neighborhoods that you're looking to go in, so they know this house isn't worth that much. Trust me. They can't have any part-time agents, people who have a poor history. They have to have a stellar record. That way I can say to you, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, go to the Real Estate Agents I Trust. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So if you missed last night's show on Ilhan Omar, I urge you to subscribe to The Blaze. We're going to keep the promotion of $20 off your year's subscription. We're going to keep it going today so you can subscribe and see the whole thing. In a nutshell, it's very difficult to really understand, but Omar is not even her real name. Her real name, we believe, is Elmi, Ilhan Elmi. But how did she get that? We figured the best way to do it, and it's kind of hard on radio. It's easier when you see it on TV. But we thought the best way to explain it was through our own version of The Brady Bunch.
Here's the story of Ilhan Elmi, who was living in a camp for refugees. Then she got a brand new name, Ilhan Omar. And fled across the sea.
It's the story of a little Omar. Long before she was a member of the squad, she had visas and her big ideas. But there's a thing called fraud.
Till the one day when these Elmis met these Omars, and they solved the problem one day over lunch, that this troop of imported Somalis would all fuse their names and form the Omar Bunch. The Omar Bunch. I've got a hunch that there's something screwed up with Omar's Bunch.
So that was our way of explaining it. Now, it went with a chalkboard. And when you see the chalkboard, somebody wrote to me last night who's been following the story for a long time and said, I finally get it. I finally get it. This is a really important story. And I had a feeling that I haven't had since the Van Jones days. And I think Benghazi, where something was said to me yesterday as we were going through all of this, and I went, this is a tip of an iceberg. There is much more than just this. We are going to be following this story and devoting more resources to it, but you need to get the basic handle on Ilhan Omar, who she is, where she came from, what's the deal with her Christian marriages, all on theblazetv.com/Glenn, passcode Glenn20.
Over to you guys.
Do not bring this story without bringing donuts.
Bringing donuts, right? I mean, bring some for the room, Hillary.
I'm sorry, that was a fail.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's American Financing. American Financing is going to be doing the refinancing of my home. I have a adjustable mortgage, and is just over 4%. And I want to save every dollar I can possibly get. Now is the time to get a refinance. They can consolidate your debt with the lowest interest rate possible. They can take you from a fixed mortgage, from a adjustable mortgage to a fixed mortgage, which I cannot recommend highly enough. They can help you with a loan and grab some of the money that you have on the table and put it into a project that maybe there's something that you need to do to the house. They can help you. All of those things. It's AmericanFinancing.net. They don't work for a bank. They work for you. You can trust them. AmericanFinancing.net. Call 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, boy. I just heard in my ear our hour-long interview with Alan Dershowitz needs to be rescheduled for when? Next hour? At the top of the hour? Bottom of the hour? Top of the hour.
We'll find out here.
Okay. All right. We've got lots to talk about today anyway, so it's no big deal, but I'm really excited to talk to Alan Dershowitz about what he claims is really behind him being accused of somebody who got a massage from a minor. He says that's not true, and he's got apparently all kinds of evidence. He knows exactly where he was and evidence of where he was when these things were supposed to be happening. We'll get to Alan Dershowitz coming up in a few minutes. We also want to talk a little bit more about what happened yesterday in the Mueller hearings and Ilhan Omar. All this hour.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't think that in 40 years of broadcasting, I don't think that's ever happened to me. You're on the air. Everything you planned is not happening. Okay.
It will be happening, though.
It will be.
Either in a half hour or an hour. We're figuring that out now.
We know Google and YouTube are not just silencing conservatives online. They are also manipulating their algorithms to interfere with the 2020 election. Meanwhile, companies like Verizon and AT&T are taking the proceeds from your mobile phone bill and funding progressive candidates and causes. We have one way to preserve the Constitution and the values which made our country great, and that is stick together. We have to stick together. That means supporting each other's causes and companies. If you have a better mousetrap, you got to let people know about it. And when you hear about it, if indeed it is a better mousetrap, and it's a conservative mousetrap, then you got to support it. because we have to stick together. Now, there's one company that will provide phone service for you, for your cell phones, and it'll give you the same great coverage that you already have because they're on the same cell towers. Everybody's using the same cell towers. However, what this company will do will save you money, give you the same service. You can pick a plan. It's affordable. Again, like I said, you're going to save hundreds of dollars throughout the year. But it also is on your side. It was started by a bunch of patriots. They don't like me calling them patriots, but they are. They're a bunch of veterans who said, we have got to stop. I mean, we're giving money to AT&T and Verizon, and they are taking their money that used to be ours, and they're giving it to La Raza and Planned Parenthood and all the things that we don't agree with. We have to stop. Now, this isn't a boycott. This is a boycott. This is something you go, wait a minute, I want to buy that one because it's better and it stands for my values. Right now, you'll get a free month of service if you visit PatriotMobile.com. They make the switch over really, really easy. A free month of service, PatriotMobile.com. Use the promo code Beck. So last night we did an episode on Ilhan Omar. Now, I just want to start here. Before we get into the episode, I want to start here. Everybody was calling the president racist for saying, go home, go home. If you don't like it, go home. And I think it's perfectly reasonable to say in an honest, loving way, why are you here? If nothing we do is good, why are you here? I would ask that if it was the country or you were in my diner and you were complaining about everything and you kept coming back. Do you know there are other diners? Why do you come in here and loudly complain when the rest of the people are happy here? What are you doing?
Exactly.
I mean, go to another diner.
And it's particularly frustrating in this case. I mean, we used to say this about Piers Morgan when he was doing a show on CNN. He's like, well, you really seem to hate the Second Amendment a lot. You probably just, I mean, look, if you don't like this Constitution, just go back home. You're a citizen of the UK.
Right.
Go back there and enjoy it.
Right.
Like, and that's not a thing of saying they're certainly not racism. The dude's white.
Mm-hmm.
With Ilhan Omar, what's interesting about that one is that we took her in.
Yeah, like,
this
she,
is a
she
woman
was a
who's
refugee.
Fleeing civil war.
Correct.
And by the way, I think it was a good decision to take her in and other refugees from areas like Somalia. We've done amazing things for people all around the world. And it's something that we do stand for. We stand for not only as members of the freest country in the world, but also as a person of faith. I'm thrilled that this country has been developed as a safe zone for people who are in the middle of hell, as long as they're good people, and there is some checking process and all of that, that they're able to come over and enjoy a life that is better. However, when you come over here, the fact that you sit here and continually spit on the country after we rescued you from a civil freaking war, it's a little tough to take.
Okay, so now this sounds really racist, but what if this was set to music?
Why does it sound racist? Doesn't it sound racist
at
all?
No. That's what everybody says
now.
Okay. It sounds racist to say go home. But what if it was set to music? What if that message had been set to music long ago? What if during World War II...
Mm-hmm.
When you had Germans here in America that had come over from Germany and they were complaining about us, and somebody said, you know what? We've helped. We're trying to help. Why don't you just go home? This I found last night from a friend. They sent it to me and they said, Glenn, listen to Gene Autry. This is from the movie in 1942, Bells of Capistrano.
Last night as I lay sleeping, a wonderful dream came to me. I saw Uncle Sammy weeping for his children from over the sea. They had come to him friendless and starving, and he took them into the fold. And now while in trouble he needs you, you'll have to remember you're old. If you don't like your Uncle Sammy, then go back to your home or the sea, to the land from where you came, whatever be its name. But don't be ungrateful to me. If you don't like the stars in Old Glory, if you don't like the red, white, and blue, then don't act like the cur in the story. Don't bite the hand that's feeding you.
Don't bite the hand that's feeding you. I mean, now when he's singing it, he's standing, of course, by his horse, and he's singing this, and he's very happy, and he's smiling, and he's just like, why are you biting the hand that fed you? We took you out of really bad situations. We rescued you. We fed you. Mm-hmm. We've given you shelter. And now you're talking down? Now all of a sudden we're a bad place? Just go back to where you came from, wherever that is.
You might enjoy it. Right?
You might
enjoy
it more. You're going to enjoy it more.
Right. I mean, we said this to American citizens like Johnny Depp, right? It's like, you know, Johnny Depp, we're complaining about the country all the time and a lot of these celebrities. And it's like, well, look, you have the means. I mean, you'll probably like France more.
Yeah.
And you know what? He does.
Right.
He loves France.
And that's great.
He chose it and he loves it.
That's great.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you can't go see his movies. And by the way, it doesn't mean that any immigrant or refugee cannot be critical of this country. Of course they can.
You know, here's
but
what
it's
I
just this. It's constantly this constant criticism of just the foundation, every little piece of the country. It's always complaining. It's always saying that everything is horrible. I mean, was she in 2000? Do we have this clip? 2018. Omar talking about white men. Let's listen.
Our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country. Mm-hmm. And so if fear was the driving force of policies to keep America safe, Americans safe inside of this country, we should be profiling, monitoring, and creating policies to fight the radicalization of white men.
Okay, so there she is. There she is on Al Jazeera. On Al frickin' Jazeera. And she's saying we really should be profiling white men because white men are responsible for most of the deaths in this country. I wonder if that's true. I don't know. Maybe we're the largest share of, you know, white people or the largest group. So we should be, but I don't know if that's true. I mean, look at Chicago. Look at Chicago alone. You know, we should be concerned about man, meaning mankind. You want to fear something? Fear man, as in mankind. Once they stop thinking, once they stop using reason and logic, then you're in trouble.
Right. And logic is not being utilized by so many. I mean, the media is a great example of this. I mean, if you are going to come out and say, as the media is saying right now, Donald Trump's tweets about Ilhan Omar were racist. We know they're racist. We should come out and say they're racist. Don't say they're racially tinged. Say they are racist and he's a racist. Because the idea that you would ask people to leave the country shows racism and there's no other explanation. Well, your first hurdle to clear there is to say, okay, well, can it be utilized in any other way? Could someone use the phrasing that Donald Trump used without being a racist, right? And so I would say I'll give you your first task on that little train and see if you can logically prove that. Explain why Ilhan Omar tweeted the same thing. explain why Rashida Tlaib tweeted the same thing, that they wanted to deport people and that they disagreed with.
Including Donald Trump.
And in Omar's case, to send them back from wherever they came from, is her quote.
Mm-hmm.
Why did she do it? Did she also do it because of racism? Because if that's true, fine, make the argument. But I would say most likely she was pissed off at someone in an argument and said, you know what, get out of my face. So it's an elevated way of saying get out of my face. And you know what? Then you have to also clear the barrier as to why Donald Trump is a jerk to everyone who disagrees with him. There is an entire New York Times, like, mini site inside the New York Times site, which highlights everyone he's insulted since, like, 2015. You're on it, Glenn. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And there's dozens and hundreds of people, the majority of them white. And when people call him out or they do things, that's obviously, as we all know, the way Donald Trump deals with it. He comes after him. He punches back. He insults them. He makes fun of them. He degrades them. It's one of the things he does. So why does he do it to all these white people, number one? And number two, why do you keep pretending every time he does it to someone who isn't white, you know that it's racism? He does it to everyone. This is not something that is unknown. There is not a case here unless you just believe it. If you believe he's a racist and you want to apply that motivation to everything that he does when it involves a person of color, you can do that, but that's not journalism.
So, I don't believe that that is the case with Ilhan Omar. As we delved into this last night, and I urge you, this is the beginning of the story. This is not the end of it. I have rededicated and reallocated some resources to furthering this story because I think we are at the tip of the iceberg. I think this story is part of a much bigger story. And we're going to spend a couple of weeks working on this, and I'll tell you what we find. But I want to go back to Ilhan Omar and her story because it is riddled with fraud and felonies. If you want to talk about the biggest liar, I mean, at the core of who she is, at the core of her name, I believe she's a liar and has committed felony after felony after felony. If you want the evidence, watch last night. We had all the documentation there, and it's a compelling case. You can subscribe to the Blaze, blazetv.com, blazetv.com/Glenn. Use Glenn 20, and you'll receive $20 off of your yearly subscription. So Glenn 20 is the promo code. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. I want to get into some of the stuff that we talked about next. Do you know that it takes the police to get to your home? If your home alarm goes off, it takes the police about 45 minutes to get to your house. Now, this is normal. Now, if you have a big company that lives, you know, that's just down the street, it doesn't take the police 45 minutes. Why?
Well, because cops are all imperialist pigs that are capitalists. Of course, they don't care about the little person.
No, it's because their security alarms come with video verification. So somebody is watching those videos all night long. Alarm goes off. They see the perpetrator breaking in, and they can call the cops and say, we have a break-in. This is not a false alarm. That's why they get the service before you do. Well, all you have to do then is just have video verification. So here's what Simply Safe has done. SimplySafeBeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com. When you go and order your system, you'll get a free HD security camera. So you're going to have the video evidence if someone tries to get in. You get a free HD security camera, $100 value at SimplySafeBeck.com. Now here's the thing. They're still charging you $15 a month, but they are now the only security company in the country, perhaps the world, that is offering this. where they have video verification technology. So SimpliSafe can visually confirm that a break-in is happening and let the police know. So that takes your response time from 45 minutes to 7 minutes. Huh. I guess now you're on par with Apple and Google and everyone else. You know they're capitalist pigs. SimpliSafeBeck.com. SimpliSafeBeck.com. We break for 10 seconds, station ID. The first 20 minutes of last night's TV show, we went into a timeline that seems ridiculous. Seems ridiculous. It is, she's married through faith marriages. You know, she's a Muslim, so she has a faith marriage. And then she has a faith divorce because she's very upset with her husband. Apparently, they have to have a faith divorce. But then, a couple months later, she marries somebody else. So, I don't know. Is she having an affair? How did she meet? When did she meet this guy? And this kid's name is Elmi. Elmi. Last name Elmi. It's really important, as we'll tell you here in a second. But she has a real marriage with Elmi. Now, Elmi is a Muslim. She's a Muslim. She's devout Muslim. They welcome her on Al Jazeera. So we know she's a devout Muslim. She says it all the time. But for some strange reason, she doesn't have a faith marriage with Elmi. She has a Christian pastor marry her. Now, why would that be? Stu, isn't there some sort of, what is that? That word that allows Muslims to lie as long as they're furthering things for Allah? Remember? So you could call on a false god in the name of Jesus and get married, but it wouldn't count because you're doing something positive for Allah. So I'm sure that had nothing to do with it. I don't even know why I thought of that. But she gets a real marriage with a real certificate, and she has a Christian marriage ceremony. And what's strange is right after they're married, they go to college together. Now, she already has two kids with her first husband, okay, Ahmed. And now her second husband, you know, they're struggling, college students. Where are they going to live? Housing is expensive. Don't worry, says her first husband, apparently. Move in with me and the kids. Now, this is beyond a loving, compassionate man who sees this woman who used to be his wife leave him, divorce spiritually, then apparently, you know, join the Christians and marry this kid right after they get a spiritual divorce. And he is man enough to say, you know what? I see your struggles as college kids. Why don't you both move into my house? And we'll all live together in a very non-confusing relationship with our children.
That's nice.
More in a second.
To Glenn Beck.
All right. Google, social media. They look at you as a product. With Google, what they want are your search. They want to know how you're thinking. What are you searching for? What are you looking for? What are you thinking? They want to map you and everybody else. Social media, all they want to do is they just want to sell stuff to you. So they sell those lists of everything that you're looking for to people who are selling stuff. You're the product. That's why it's free. That's why you need a VPN, a virtual private network. And the only company I trusted to supply one is Norton. They've been known by all of us for years and years as security for your computer. Well, now they are security for your online connection. A VPN allows you to go online without leaving any footprints. They block it so nobody can follow you. Nobody is tracking you. Sorry. Tough luck, Facebook. Hey, Zuck. Sucks to be you. I want you to go now, right now. $3.33 a month for a first year. It's Norton.com/VPN.
BlazeTV.com. Use the promo code GLEN20. Get $20 off. You can watch the Ilhan Omar special. Get the full story on demand.
So last night we did our expose on Ilhan Omar, and you need to watch it because this is going to be a continuing story, and you have to have the baseline. And it is a really confusing story. As I began to lay out just a minute ago, she had a faith marriage with an Ahmed. That's his first name, Ahmed Hirsi, and she loves him. And they had a faith marriage. It wasn't a legal marriage. It was a faith marriage in the Muslim tradition, because they're very, very Muslim. You know that. And so they have this faith marriage, and then she gets a divorce after having two children. She gets a divorce, and within a couple of months, she's married to another guy. His last name is Elmi, and that's really important to know. His name is Elmi. So she marries Ahmed Elmi. Now, they go right to college, and they're married all the way through college. Almost to the day of their graduation, they get separated. And she goes right back to her first husband. Well, I can't say she goes right back because they were living in the same house the whole time. All right. So her faith husband, who she got a faith divorce from, and then legally had a Christian marriage, strangely, two Muslims getting married by a Christian pastor. What's that all about? And they do the paperwork. And so they're now legally married. But this guy, beyond an open marriage, her first spiritual or faith husband says, hey, you guys live here. You live in this house with the kids. And I'm not going anywhere. I'll just live here. That's not creepy or weird at all. Do you think, Stu? You have a spiritual faith divorce from Lisa,
mm-hmm.
and then you're immediately with another hot babe,
mm-hmm.
and you get this time you leave your faith and you become a Zoonostran, and you have a big Zoonostran ceremony.
Sure,
okay, mm-hmm. and Lisa would clearly say, because you were going to start a new life with this new person. You had no money.
She'd be like, come on. Do you guys need anything? What do you want to come in and live with us?
Right.
Why don't you two come live with us and the kids?
Right.
We'll all kind of gather together.
Right.
And have a nice little, very complicated sitcom-esque sort of relationship.
Well, it's kind of like a modern day Ilhan Omar Three's Company. Mm. Now, we did this last night, and it's much better with the visuals. Because you kind of understand it a little bit more, but we thought, okay, a sitcom that would explain this is Three's Company, except not. It's not like Three's Company, but it's exactly like Three's Company. It actually ends up to be Six Company. but they're all living together, and so you know, we had about $25 and a team of attorneys watching every word last night. So this is the best we could do to try to explain this situation using Three's Company.
Come and knock if you dare.
Come and knock if you dare.
Weird here at all.
Nothing weird here at all.
Only marriage for him and her and him. Three's Company also.
Definitely not Three's Company 2.
Sleep on our floor. She might be my bro.
Cause you might be my bro.
It's just for intuition. Break his company or so. Marriage is so much fun again. Now it's done again. True. Down at NDSU.
Okay,
there you go.
So they go to college at NDSU, and then the minute they graduate, she leaves him. Now they're separated. They don't get a divorce. They just get separated. And now I don't know if he feels jilted, because when she says, I need a separation, she goes right back to be with her first husband. Well, I mean, it's not hard. I don't know how the rooms were arranged in the first place. So she didn't actually leave her second husband because he was living at the house. And she didn't actually go back to her first husband because he was living in the house. I'm not even sure if they switched bedrooms. So he, we guess, continued to live there for a while. Then she claims he just disappeared. We don't know what happened to him. The problem is she starts claiming that they're married, the first couple, that she's married to her first husband on income tax. Uh-oh. They're told, no, you can't do that. She does it a second year. Oops, I'm just a ditzy. Well, I was going to say blonde, but I'm pretty sure my hair is real. So she does it twice, but the second year she commits fraud on her income tax, she may not have been paying much attention, because that's when she travels over to England and hangs out with her first husband and, or no, sorry, her second husband and her sister. Okay, so they're hanging out and partying. I don't know if the first husband even knows about it, but she puts it on her Facebook page. So it's on her Facebook page. Now, maybe her husband's not reading social media, but it is her spiritual husband, and she is still legally married, so I don't know who she's cheating on here. This is the nonsense that is going on, and the reason why that I said Elmi is an important name is because we now believe that Elmi is her actual last name, not Omar. Omar was the name that she took on with her father and her sister. Three other Elmis got, sanctuary or whatever in England.
Refugee status.
Refugee status. So they were allowed to go to England, but they could only take three. Now, the Omars are this family that's in the same refugee camp, and they have refugee status in the United States. And so if the Omars claim Elon, her father, and the sister are Omars, they can come with them to Virginia, but she's got to change her name. We believe that's how this family became the Omar Bunch, which I think the song says it all. Here it is.
Here's the story of Elon Elmi, who was living in a camp for refugees. Then she got a brand new name, Elon Omar, and fled across the sea.
It's the story of a little Omar. Long before she was a member of the squad, she had visas and her big ideas, but there's a thing called fraud.
Till the one day when these Elmis met these Omars, and they solved the problem one day over lunch, that this troop of imported Somalis would all fuse their names and form the Omar Bunch. The Omar Bunch. I've got a hunch that there's something screwed up with Omar's Bunch.
So what did I say about the progressives about 2009? It will be their arrogance that is their undoing. Her arrogance to come over here, possibly under a false name, commit that felony. Now, it's not her fault. I blame this on the father, and I kind of don't blame it. I mean, they're in a refugee camp, and people become desperate, and they'll do anything. I really kind of blame it on our system that didn't catch 80% of those who came from Somalia. 80% claim somebody is their relative, and it's not their relative according to DNA tests. We don't have a DNA test on Elon Omar. I doubt she's going to submit to one. But if you see the photographic evidence and you know how common this is. By the way, these claims came from the Somali community. That's where they started.
And generally speaking, it's not her. The race she came over here isn't something that you're criticizing, right?
No, I mean, this just want to explain, yeah. Who she is, because it's important that you know that she has that secret to hide. Once an official has something to hide, they're dangerous.
But I mean, if you're in the Somali Civil War, you're at a Kenyan refugee camp.
I would do anything I could.
Again,
to
she's a child at this point. Yeah. So, I mean, this is not a decision she's making, correct. Blah, blah, blah. What she does with all of this afterwards is where it gets, I think, sketchy.
Exactly right. The whole marriage thing. That's why I said Elmi is really important. And it would explain how she's living with her faith husband, why she got married under a different faith, because it means nothing.
Yeah,
they were doing it for the look. Elmi is possibly her last name. Okay, so she's bringing her brother over under false pretenses so he can get an education here in the United States. He could get a visa. It's education fraud. It's immigration fraud. It's all kinds of bad stuff. If anybody did this, if you did this, we would be spending probably at least a decade in jail. And then it's tax fraud. So, but it explains her timeline. This is the timeline of when she got married, when she went to school, who she married, all of this stuff. That first, when you watch the TV show, when you see that first 24 minutes where I'm just explaining the timeline, that's her timeline. That's what she says happened. So there's no conspiracy in this, and it's insane.
Right, and it's important to know that some of these details, as you look at them, a lot of the evidence is based on their social media posts. So mm-hmm. they posted things like, here's my niece, and here's my sister.
Here's my dad.
And these are things that they are saying, and sometimes not even just Ilhan Omar, but the other people who are in photos with Ilhan Omar saying, here's my sister. Right. Like, it's like that crazy. But in addition to that, there's a lot of this that she actually has admitted to. As you point out, her timeline is pretty clear. She's also admitted to falsely filing tax forms jointly with someone she was not married to.
And she got into trouble mm-hmm. because she was using campaign money mm-hmm. to hire somebody to fix her taxes.
And she's admitted that as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is fraud after fraud after fraud after fraud after fraud. So the people of Minnesota really need to stand up and demand answers, but I don't know if they're going to. And you're not going to get an answer, I think, from the state of Minnesota on any. She's never going to be prosecuted in Minnesota. And here's why. The attorney general's name is Keith Ellison. Now, isn't it interesting that she won the seat that he vacated? And he is also now, in a way, the protector of any shenanigans. Because if he says, it's not enough to pursue, they don't pursue it. Isn't that interesting? Believe me, there is much, much more to this story. And we're going to be covering it. But I want you to please subscribe to The Blaze so we can bring these stories to you. The guys who are doing the research on this outside of The Blaze, they are nervous, and I think they should be. This is a very powerful group of people who have very dangerous connections. They don't like being exposed. Remember, we have already shown you her deep connections with CARE. We've already shown you the connection of CARE to the Muslim Brotherhood and the Muslim Brotherhood's paternal connection to Hamas. This is not an easy story to tell. It's politically incorrect. It's very complex, and no one wants it exposed. And the ones who don't want to expose the most, the ones who have the most to lose, have very dangerous friends and connections. I'd ask that you would support The Blaze at blazetv.com/Glenn. Sign up now. Use the promo code Glenn20 and you're going to save $20 right now. Boy, did you see the have you seen the side by side photos where they almost have them animated to where they've taken photos before and after the earthquake, and you see how much the land moved in California?
No,
it's crazy. Do a search for it. Hurricane season is among us. New Yorkers expecting more power outages and police. I got to talk to you about the police in New York. It's crazy what's happening there. Emergencies are likely to repeat themselves and get worse and worse. Please prepare with Glenn. Go to preparewithglenn.com right now and have your food supply ready to go. Right now, there's a 4-week food kit that's a great way to start. Order a few and save $100 per food kit when you go to my special website, preparewithglenn.com. These are 4 weeks, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can store them. They're shipped free to your doorstep. They're easy to store. Prepare yourself so there's no surprises. Preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. Welcome to the program. Okay, I think we have Alan Dershowitz on with us. This coming hour, this should be this amazing. I don't know anybody who has been accused of a pretty heinous and nasty crime who's willing to come on and talk about it. He's been named as one of the guys who is was involved with the massages with Jeffrey Epstein. He says it's absolutely untrue, and he's going to go on record and tell you the whole story and what he thinks actually happened next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I'm Hillary. That's your 4-minute buzz. And now here's Glenn and Stu at the final hour
of
the show.
It does tend to get cold in the dark on the moon quickly.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. We have over 1,000 agents, another 5,000 are on a waiting list that share my vision of how real estate should be done all over the country. And when I say share my vision on how real estate should be done, meaning, you know, you should call the people whose house you're representing. You should have a plan. You should have a verifiable plan. You should be the best in class. You should be trusted to, you know, I don't like it when I wonder, can my real estate agent even remember that my house is for sale? Is he calling? What are they doing? RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. That's who you're going to find. People who say what they mean and mean what they say. It's not a sponsor that I'm recommending. This is my company. My team has worked diligently to ensure that our agents live up to their promise to me to be the best in service with your biggest investment. So get moving with realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
You know, I think my worst nightmare is to be wrongly accused. How do you deal with that? And where do you go to get your reputation back, especially in today's world? I think this is a first in 40 years of broadcast. I don't think I've ever heard anybody, especially who was famous, accused of a crime, and a pretty bad one, who claims they're innocent, and then is willing to come on and just have a open conversation with no parameters. That's suicide for most people. I don't think for this guy, Alan Dershowitz, who has now been implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein case. He says all of this is a lie. We'll talk to him in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, if you're in constant pain, you're not alone. I know, because I have been in constant pain. Really, towards the end of Fox, I could barely move my hands. There were times that it was so bad, my hands would shake really bad. We had secret messages with the camera people so they could take a different shot or whatever, so they wouldn't show that on TV. And it got worse and worse and worse until I, just a few years ago, I was like, I just can't live this way anymore. My wife made me take Relief Factor. I didn't think it would work because it's all natural. Well, please keep your hippie stuff. Call a pharmacy, okay? Keep your hippie stuff away from me. You go ahead and eat the grass. Well, this is 100% drug-free, and it's created by doctors, and it is to reduce inflammation, which even sounds hippie to me. Inflammation is actually our biggest foe when it comes to pain, and really the body's biggest foe, causes all kinds of problems. Relief Factor says, try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, it's not going to work. So try it for 3 weeks. 70% of the people who try it are just like me. They go on to take it every day. I take it 3 times a day, and it has dramatically changed my life. Call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, or relieffactor.com. If you don't know who Alan Dershowitz is, it probably is your first couple of months in our country. Probably the most famous lawyer alive today. He has represented everyone from Ted Kennedy at Chappaquiddick to O.J. Simpson to Jeffrey Epstein. And he knows Jeffrey Epstein. And recently he has been accused of being one of the guys who was getting minors to give them massages. He says that is absolutely untrue, and I tend to believe him only because I've seen this guy, and he's not a guy who's going to vote for Trump, but he sees something and he feels that it is right, and he says it no matter what the cost is to him personally. And I wonder also if this isn't part of the price he's paying for his defense of Donald Trump. Welcome to Alan Dershowitz to the program.
Well, thank you. You know, I have never refused to speak out on this issue because I'm a victim of crime. I'm a victim of conspiracy to commit perjury, to suborn perjury, extortion. And I want to speak out, and I'm going to continue to speak out about this. I'm going to write a book about it called Suitable for Framing. Let me state just categorically first, I never met these women. I never heard of them. It's a completely made-up story. This is the only Me Too case in history where there is no relationship between the accuser and the accused. In every other case, yeah, we had sex, but it was consensual. Yeah, she worked for me, but I didn't touch her. In this case, I categorically never met or heard of these people. And they both said so in emails, in recordings. They both said so until they met David Boies. And once they met David Boies, and David Boies promised them big paydays, they changed their story, and they then falsely claimed in one case that I had been the lawyer for this woman, I never met her, and that she participated in a threesome with me, not my style, and that, and the other case that I had sex with her 7 times on an island that I had never been to except with my wife and daughter, in a ranch, all these exotic places. And I have records, my travel records, my TV records, my court records, my American Express records, that categorically prove I could never have been in any of those places. And best of all, I have a tape recording by David Boies, the woman's lawyer, who tells me on tape that it was impossible for me to have been in those places and that his client is, quote, wrong, simply wrong. And then I have emails from the woman accusing me to a friend of hers who was working on a book with her, saying, I don't remember who I had sex with, just tell me. And then she responds by saying, well, we know you didn't have sex with Dershowitz, but you should mention him in the book. It will help you sell the book because he wrote Reversal of Fortune. And then she puts me in the book as someone she did not have sex with. So the evidence is just overwhelming and conclusive. On their side, all they have are two witnesses who have long histories of lying. In one case, the first woman, Virginia Roberts, claimed she had dinner with Al Gore and Tipper Gore on Jeffrey Epstein's island. Al Gore and Tipper Gore have never met Jeffrey Epstein. They were never on the island. She claimed she had dinner twice with Bill Clinton, who was flown to the island by a rookie novice helicopter pilot with Secret Service agents on the plane. Secret Service records prove that Epstein was never on the island. This other woman who accused me has emails she wrote to the New York Post saying she has sex tapes of Hillary Clinton, of Donald Trump, of Bill Clinton and Richard Branson. And in the email, she mentions all the people she had sex with, never mentions me. She says I was her lawyer, which isn't true, but she never says she had sex with me. So that's the quality of the two women who have accused me for money. And on my side, I have all this evidence. On the other side, there's never been a clearer case of innocence. And yet the media doesn't believe it. And people don't believe it. They say if a woman says it, it must be true. If a man denies it, it must be false. And if a man denies something like this, he has been being abusive to women. How dare you call a woman a liar? My God, that's the worst kind of sexism. Well, I'm going to continue to call these women liars, and I'm going to continue to call their lawyers people who helped put them up to these lies, because the evidence is clear. They never accused me until they met their lawyers. So it's an open and shut case, and yet newspapers and the media still carry stories accusing me falsely. The New Yorker is about to write a hit piece on me. And I have evidence that the editor of The New Yorker told people the reason they're doing a hit piece is because of my support for Trump's legal rights, my support for Benjamin Netanyahu, and my support for Israel. And they're trying to silence my voice explicitly. They think they can destroy my career and my integrity by making these false accusations. And then I won't stand up for the legal rights of Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the state of Israel.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there, but first...
I will not refuse to answer any question. I'm an open book. I did nothing wrong. I've had sex with one woman during this relevant period of time. My wife, who I love, I adore, and who is helping me in this case. She's been basically my paralegal and my assistant. I have nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. Shoot away. Ask me any question. I will answer.
See, this had so much credibility to you. Because no man in your position and seeing what happens to dirtbags and how stupid that would be to say those things if they weren't true, because somebody's going to go out to try to prove it, prove you wrong.
Contrast it. The two women who have accused me refused to speak to you, refused to speak to The New Yorker, refused to speak to the Miami Herald, refused to speak to The New York Times. They only make the accusation from behind the litigation privilege, because they know if they say it in court papers, then I can't sue them for defamation. And the whole plot is they accuse me in behind litigation privilege in court papers. They leak it to the press. Then I deny it in public to the media, as I am doing right now, and then they sue me for defamation. That's the plan, and that's the way they're hoping to make more money. But I'm not going to settle this case. I'm going to litigate it and prove that they have committed perjury, and I'm going to try to get the FBI to investigate both me and them to see who's telling the truth and who's lying. I'm confident of the result.
So one of the people, and you started with David Boies, and most people probably don't know who he is. I remember him as the guy who defended Al Gore in the 2000 election, but he is probably, one of the top five attorneys in the country. You came out swinging and said that you are, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth because I know you're careful with words, but it sounded to me like you're saying he framed you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I am saying that he was part of a system where these women, and he was their lawyer, frame me. Remember, he's also the same lawyer who was representing the New York Times and hired people to extort, threaten, get information on a New York Times reporter. And the New York Times thought it was such a horrible conflict of interest, they fired him and wrote an editorial. He tried to stop the Me Too movement by trying to prevent the New York Times from publishing material about Harvey Weinstein. He's engaged in similar tactics with other women. His history with women is horrible, And he's trying to now compensate for that long history by supporting women. But he's destroying the Me Too movement, because I'm going to prove at trial that these women made up a story for money, and it's going to hurt the Me Too movement. I don't want to hurt the Me Too movement, because it's very important when we're dealing with truthful stories. But, you know, I think it was Eric Hoffa who once said, every cause starts as a movement, it then becomes a business, and ultimately it degenerates into a racket. And David Boies is turning the Me Too movement into a racket to try to obtain money from people who are telling lies to help him and to help themselves.
So why would, I mean, you know, you always hear that attorneys would just don't turn on each other, and, you know, it's almost like a thin blue line kind of thing. Why does he have it out for you? Why would he pick you out of all the people that he could pick from?
Well, it was a very carefully planned plot. They went to me, they accused me in public, and then, this is undisputed, he admits this. He then went to Leslie Wexner, the billionaire owner of Victoria's Secret, and basically said to Leslie Wexner, the client who's accusing Dershowitz publicly is accusing you privately. No one knows about it. It's a secret. And if you want to keep it a secret, if you don't want to have happen to you what happened to Alan Dershowitz, there are ways of resolving this, even though it's well beyond the statute of limitations. And according to the best friend of the woman who publicly accused me, they were seeking a billion, not a million, not a hundred million, $1 billion from this man who was worth $7 billion. And of course he'd be willing to pay $1 billion not to destroy the company, because the one big difference between what I was accused of and what Wexner was accused of, Wexner was accused of not only having sex with this woman, but making her wear Victoria's Secret-type lingerie when she was underage. Imagine what that would do to a company if it came out. And so the question is, we know from his own affidavits, David Boies met with Leslie Wexner's lawyers. Leslie Wexner's lawyers described it as a shakedown. Leslie Wexner's wife described it as a shakedown. He met with the lawyers, David Boies personally, and after meeting with the lawyers, Leslie Wexner's name disappears from the public record. He's no longer a witness. Nothing is, he's not accused of anything. There are only two possibilities. One, David Boies didn't believe his own client about Leslie Wexner, and he thought Leslie Wexner was innocent. But if he didn't believe his client about Leslie Wexner, why did he believe her about me? Or second, he believed her and decided simply to be charitable and not go after this billionaire, instead go after this law professor. That's absurd. And so I think federal authorities ought to look into whether there was an extortion plot.
Now, if there's one person I'm not going to wrong, I think I would wrong a billionaire that sells underwear over you, because I know your record of winning. Who you are. Why in the world would he pick the Alan Dershowitz?
Well, first of all, I filed bar charges against him, so he was furious at me. And so he threatened me through other people, saying, unless you withdraw the bar charges, we're going to find another young woman, because two are better than one. And so he found this other woman who had written emails saying she had sex tapes of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, etc. It was a combination of economic motives and rage at me for calling him into account in front of the Bar Association. And, you know, at this point, he can't pull back because he's gone so far. But he says in one of his affidavits, he thought it was initially a mistake to go after me because he knew I would fight back. He also, it was a mistake to go after me because he knew I didn't do it. He knew I was not that kind of guy. I taught at Harvard 50 years. It was never a complaint for any kind of misconduct. I've spoken to, 1,000 audiences. I take pictures with the people after. Never had any Al Franken moments. I don't touch people. I'm not a huggy guy. I'm not that guy. I've had a wonderful marriage, wonderful children and grandchildren. He just picked on the wrong guy, and I'll be able to prove that.
I will tell you this. One of the things that we were talking about last night when I was talking to somebody about having you on was, if there was ever a guy who was in the position to be Me Too'd, it would be a guy who was hanging out with young, impressionable college students at Harvard when you're Alan Dershowitz. I mean, if there was any, I'm sure you had ample opportunity, and to have zero complaints says something about your character.
No doubt about that. And I was unmarried for about 8 years between my first and second marriages. And I never, ever went out with a student. I never flirted with a student. I always thought it was inappropriate. In fact, I represented several women who had been harassed by their professors at Harvard and worked out resolutions for them. I was always on the side of the people who were harassed or the students, but of course never a complaint. Never a complaint in my entire life. I'm 81 years old this September, and I lived a flawless personal life, and the New Yorker is coming after me. They're claiming I forced my first wife to have an abortion. My first wife never was pregnant. She never had an abortion. Unfortunately, she was mentally ill, and we have records of that. And her lawyer didn't believe it or allege it in the divorce. I got custody of my kids. I was a wonderful father. I am a wonderful father and grandfather. But they're trying to dig up every possible bit of dirt, the New Yorker, in an effort to silence my voice, because they don't like what I'm saying about Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, or the state of Israel.
All right, I want to get to that here in a second. I need to take a one-minute break to tell you about our sponsor, which is Goldline. If you follow history, there is going to be a correction in our economy and the stock market. The question is when, not if, and how bad. Now is the perfect time to diversify. Things are going well. Now is the time to make sure you're out of debt. Make sure that you are not getting into high interest loans on, credit cards and everything else. But also, if I may, suggest that you invest some in gold. Now, when I say invest, I'm not an investment advisor. I can't tell you what to do. I mean, I'm usually wrong on things. But I will tell you this. I don't invest in gold. I buy gold as an insurance policy against insanity. When the world starts to become sane again, okay. I mean, I'm going to keep it and give it to my kids because the world will eventually go insane. But we seem to be going insane faster and faster every day. There's this new monetary policies that are being kicked around by socialists that are saying, you don't even have to borrow money. You can just print it. That's nuts. And that ends with gold and silver. So please call Goldline, 1-866-GOLDLINE. They're waiting for your call right now. Just ask them for their important risk information and read all of the stuff that they are going to send you. And then you make your mind. You're smart enough to figure it out. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. I'm going to ask Alan Dershowitz. We only have about a minute before we go into another break, and then we have another long segment. But let me just ask you a personal question.
Sure.
You just said you're going to turn 81. You have led an amazing life. You have accomplished so much. You're in our history books. What does it feel like to get to 81 and then have this possibly blow everything up?
Well, it's a horrible, horrible feeling, much more for my family. My wonderful wife, my children, my grandchildren are both in medical school. They, live among young people who believe in women, that women don't lie. It's been horrible to have the fact that one, a lawyer, and two liars are believed over me when I have all the evidence. They don't have a scintilla of evidence to support them. And yet, the media seems to be believing me, particularly the left-wing media, which wants to silence me as well. So it's a terrible, terrible feeling. It's a horrible feeling. You've lived a good life. You've done so much. I helped so many people in ways that nobody will ever know, women and men. And yet, this is going to be my obituary, that I was accused whether falsely or truthfully, that I was accused, and it was completely falsely. It's a made-up story. There is nothing to it at all.
And, all right.
You know, I'm going to continue to say this until the day I die, and when I die, my children will say it, and my grandchildren will say it. This will not end.
This is what happens when a society decides you're guilty until proven innocent, and it has got to stop. We just have to stop this. This is insanity. We're going to get into the political reasons that the media is tearing them apart next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I'm going to refi my home. I have interest rate that's just over 4%. And now is the time to refi. And I've been telling you this for a while, and it's not that I'm not doing it myself. Now the interest rate is low enough to where I can save money. You can save money. Even if you've had a loan in the last year, you might be able to save thousands of dollars. Now, AmericanFinancing.net. These are the people that I've endorsed since 2009, I think, or late 2008, after the crash. They called me back. They had been wanting me to endorse them, and I said, I don't trust any mortgage company right now. You're all thieves. And they said, no, we don't do those kinds of. We don't work for banks. We work for people. And I said, yeah, you call me after the crash. And they did, and their people were fine because they don't do that. They work for you. Call 800-906-2440. Refi. Go and have a consolidation loan. Save thousands. AmericanFinancing.net.
Go to blazetv.com. Promo code is Glenn20. You can save $20 off on your subscription. The Ilhan Omar special is up and on demand right now.
He has been called the top lawyer of last resort. He is the best known criminal lawyer in the world. His name is Alan Dershowitz, and he is providing a remarkable interview. And I would like to invite you, sir, to bring your evidence. And I do a podcast once a week, and it's a 90-minute uninterrupted interview that I'd love to have you show the evidence and make your case.
Happy to do it. Okay. Happy to do it. Look, I could show you the evidence against me in 1 second. It doesn't exist. There is nothing because my two accusers won't even speak on the record or off the record. They only hide behind the litigation privilege. And then I have this massive evidence, tape recordings, emails. Unfortunately, some of them are currently under seal. We've been trying very hard to get them unsealed. We won a case in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals ordering them to be unsealed, but the mandate hasn't yet issued because somebody is appealing from that order. But as soon as they come out, it'll be completely and totally clear that these women never, ever accused me until they met David Boies. And indeed, to the contrary, they both said quite categorically that they did not ever have sex with me. And then change their mind if they were promised a pot of gold by David Boies.
Okay, so let me go to the political ramifications. I find this interesting that this case came out a long time ago. People have known about the private island and everything else. They've known about him for a long time.
Sure.
Clinton was accused, nothing. But the minute Acosta and you and Trump are tied into this, this story breaks wide open. Do you believe that that interest is there because of the Me Too, because of Donald Trump, or because of a combination?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think the interest in me is largely because of Donald Trump. If I had been a strong opponent of Donald Trump, if I had taken the views that my colleagues like Larry Tribe and others have taken about Donald Trump, I don't think the media would be interested in these false accusations. They had already been debunked and proved false before Trump got elected president. They were clearly disproved. They were in the wastebasket of history in 2016. And then Trump gets elected, and I write two books about him and do a critique of the Mueller report. And I'm on, you know, a lot of television critiquing Trump's opponents, and suddenly this all crops up. We know that the New Yorker is publishing this hit piece this coming week or the week after, precisely in order to quiet my voice on Trump. We know that because we have direct evidence from the editor.
Is the evidence you have?
Somebody very close to the New Yorker told me about hearing directly from David Remnick and from Connie Brook. Take, for example, Connie Brook, the woman who was assigned. She has a son who came out and became gay, and the family loved him, adored him, embraced him. Then the same son who was gay came out for Donald Trump and wrote a piece saying, my family excludes me now, they won't have me to any events, I've been completely shunned. This is the woman they assigned to write the hit piece on me. She spoke to all my enemies. She went back in history and found every conceivable thing that you can say negative about me from enemies, many of them provably false, and she puts together this article for the express purpose of silencing my voice. She's a woman who has come out strongly against Trump, against Netanyahu, against Israel. The same is true with David Remnick. And so we will prove it in court because I will be suing the New Yorker for reckless disregard of the truth and for publishing material that's clearly false. They think they can hide behind the litigation privilege, and I think the courts are ready now to say, no, 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 that tactic won't work anymore. You can't accuse somebody in court, refuse to confirm it in public, and then sue him for defamation for truthfully defending himself. Look, it's everybody's First Amendment right under our Constitution to call a false accuser a liar. That's what I've done. And so I've been sued by David Boies for calling Virginia Roberts a liar. And I'm going to prove that she's a liar. I'm going to prove that David Boies is complicit. And so I'm looking forward to a trial. I'm also trying to invoke the First Amendment in the case and argue that I have a complete right to defend myself. Mm-hmm. This has become very political. And to deny any American the right to defend himself in the court of public opinion when they've been accused in court papers would be so un-American.
Some people are mad at you because you did the deal that got Jeffrey Epstein the greatest, I don't even know what you would call it, the luxury condo jail suite kind of a deal. And people are upset at you about that.
Understandably, and they should be. It's my job. If any people who are upset at me got in trouble and hired me to be their lawyer, I would try to do the same thing for them. It's the job of the defense lawyer to get the best result possible. It's the job of the prosecutor to try to get the worst result possible, consistent with ethics, and it's the job of the judge to do the right thing. But you can't blame a defense attorney for trying to get a good deal for his client.
But you know, this is part of the problem, though, in America, and I don't even know what you think about Professor Hayward. I think that was his name. What is it?
I think you're talking about Ronald Sullivan Jr. from Harvard?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Sullivan. Oh, that was terrible. Yeah.
He was on the Harvey Weinstein team. The students get him kicked out of the school. This is in Boston, where John Adams was the guy who set up the way you're supposed to be if you're a defense attorney. You have to take cases of even the people who are the most despised.
And if you're a professor with tenure, you especially have to take the most despised, because at least before the Sullivan case, you couldn't be fired if you did it. And so, of course, you have to take the most despised cases. That's what I teach my students. Sullivan wasn't fired from Harvard. The law school basically backs him completely. It was the college that fired him from being the dean of one of the residential colleges because some of the women in the college said that they were frightened, that they felt scared to have a professor who defended somebody. This is the same professor who defended many women and who's a wonderful, wonderful man, the first African-American dean of a house. And he gets fired because some women say they felt unsafe. By the way, I think they're lying, these women who say they feel unsafe. How could you feel unsafe in the presence of a professor, his wife, and his children? You just don't like what he's doing, and you use the mantra of unsafe because that's become the latest way of getting people fired from their jobs. Just say, oh, you feel unsafe. Nobody can challenge you because you're a woman. And if you're a woman and you feel unsafe, that's the end of the inquiry. And, you know, I think it was a terrible thing that happened at Harvard, and I've condemned Harvard for doing it. And, you know, people have said, why doesn't Harvard investigate me? And my response is, please, Go ahead. Investigate me. I will give you all the evidence. I'm dying to be investigated. I called on the FBI in a Wall Street Journal op-ed. I said, please investigate me. That's the only way I can be vindicated. You know, we have a new word in the vocabulary now, exonerated, based on yesterday's disastrous hearing with Mueller. He said the president wasn't exonerated. That's not a legal principle. You know, a prosecutor is supposed to either say prosecute or not prosecute. But I am looking to be exonerated. I want to be totally exonerated because I am totally and completely and categorically innocent. It's not a gray area. Either I'm committing perjury or my false accusers are committing perjury, and I want the FBI to determine who should go to jail. I will not invoke any privileges. I will say the truth. Let the FBI determine who's telling the truth.
We don't really send people to jail now for perjury.
Unfortunately, that's too bad, especially in civil cases. And I wish they did, and they should, because otherwise lawyers tell their clients, hey, don't worry about lying a little bit in the deposition. Nobody goes to jail for committing perjury in civil cases. People should go to jail for committing perjury in civil cases. And I'm inviting a criminal investigation of my testimony, because I will testify unequivocally that I never met either of these women. And if I'm lying, I will hold my hands out, let the handcuffs come, and put me in jail. But if they're lying, they should go to jail along with their lawyers.
So I want to leave you with this one last thought. This came from New York Magazine. They wrote, Alan Dershowitz cannot stop talking.
Right.
I mean, it's a... It's a strange, I know.
Yeah.
It's a strange article when you read it, but Boyce says, to me, it's clear Mr. Dershowitz will never be made whole. Toward the end of our morning in the vineyard, Dershowitz stepped out of the room to have yet another crisis management call with his lawyer. I took the opportunity to ask Cohen, your wife, how she hoped to see this case between her husband and his accusers resolved. She said, and I quote, my hope, my greatest dream, would be for this to be revealed as a sinister plot by Boyes, that he gets what's due him, and Alan gets totally exonerated. And the Me Too movement pulls back some and becomes a more reasonable, due process-oriented, valuable movement. This alerts us to the dangers of being too fanatical. The balance of presumption, she says, has tilted too far. It's like all men are evil.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful wife. I am so lucky to have this woman, Carolyn Cohen, from Charleston, South Carolina, as my wife. And I'm so proud of her. And she has been so smart and so wonderful in this case.
Where do we end, Alan, not on your case alone, but the direction that we're headed as a nation? There is no, it is proof of innocence, not proof of guilt now.
But even proof of innocence isn't enough. In my case, I've proved my innocence. An accusation today is enough to get the media to turn on you and to try to destroy your entire life by a false accusation. People think that sexual abuse is so heinous a crime that even innocence is not a defense, especially if you're a Trump defender of his rights.
You even had it yesterday, as you pointed out, with Mueller. Wait, you are supposed to find out if the guy committed a crime. And and you just leave the door open and say, well, I'm not really sure, he might have done some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not, that's not the role of anyone that's supposed to be doing that,
in
law enforcement.
I agree with you. But in my case, I'd be happy to have a commission investigate. They'll find that I did nothing wrong in my personal life. And I strongly believe I wouldn't be in the position I'm in if I hadn't taken the position against the political correct views of liberals and stand up for the constitutional rights of Donald Trump the way I stood up for the constitutional rights of Richard Nixon and the constitutional rights of Bill Clinton. I will stand up for the constitutional rights of everybody. Today I'm standing up for my own rights. I never thought it would come to that, but it's come to that. And, you know, The New Yorker had a piece totally defending Al Franken, attacking his accusers, saying that they were lying. And then they turn around and have exactly the opposite piece about me. And, of course, in Al Franken's case, there are photographs We know he did inappropriate touching. In my case, there is nothing, zero. And yet the New Yorker is going to come out and attack me ferociously while defending Al Franken. What's the difference? Al Franken is opposed to Donald Trump. Al Franken believes that Donald Trump should be impeached. I have defended Donald Trump and do not believe he should be impeached. I think we should resolve all this by the election in 2020. I'm a liberal Democrat who voted for Hillary Clinton, but I support the rights of Donald Trump to be treated fairly and constitutionally. He's not above the law, but neither is Congress, and they can't impeach him for something that isn't specified in the Constitution. That's the law as well.
Alan Dershowitz, this has been a remarkable conversation. I admire you much more than I ever have. I've admired you for a long time. Thank you so much for spending the time. We'd love to have you come down for a podcast. So
I would be happy to do it. Let's see if we can arrange it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sure. You take care. Be well. Bye.
Everything happens for a reason, and they picked on the wrong guy. I think they've picked on the wrong guy, and this may have a giant effect on freedom of speech and everything else. And let me just add one more thing. If you watched the Mueller report yesterday, how old is Robert Mueller?
74, I think.
74. Alan Dershowitz is 81 this year.
Quite a difference.
Quite a difference. Mm. Welcome to the program. Our sponsor this half hour is CarShield. When you have a problem with your car, man, it's a disaster. Because nobody's like, well, I got a repair to do my car. Oh, no big deal. I got that money. Nobody. I don't care how much money you have. Nobody goes, oh, no big deal. It's always a nightmare. And when you don't have the money to fix it, it's worse. Take that heat off. Get CarShield. If you are out of warranty, I don't care if your car has 5,000 or 150,000 miles. You're out of warranty. Get extended coverage now with CarShield at carshield.com. Call them now at 800-CAR-6000. They have roadside assistance. You get a car while yours is in repair. They pay for it. They don't pay you, and then you pay the... No, they pay the dealer or wherever you're having it fixed. It's so easy, and it takes all of the sweat out of starting your car and looking at that check engine light. 800-CAR-6000. Use the promo code Beck at carshield.com. I have to tell you, I'm just sitting here in 40 years of broadcast, 43 years of broadcast, I have never even heard an interview like that.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. And what's amazing about it is he's smart enough to know that if what he just said was not true and somebody is out there with the evidence, that's just wound them up. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. I mean, that is a confident interview, a confident guy, and compelling case on his innocence.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.